Magic.
And the world of illusion.
Magic TV.
And Craig Petty. Proudly present the Talk Magic Podcast. Every week we bring you awesome interviews with the greatest magicians that have ever lived. And now, here's your host, Craig Petty.
Hey guys, welcome back to Magic TV. My name's Craig. It's 9 o'clock, which means it's time for another video. And today I am jumping on an interview with an absolute legend in the UK magic scene. He is one of the most successful business people in magic. He has run more bars and theatres successfully than most people than you will ever meet. He's just been made councillor at the Magic Circle, which is a huge honour. On top of that, he has trained probably more magicians to learn how to perform magic properly than anybody I know. He's created some of the top tricks in the last few years that have sold out all over the world. And he's back having written a new book. Very good friend of mine, the one and only living legend himself, Mr. Mark Bennett. How are you doing, Mark?
I'm good. How are you? Thanks very much. Lovely intro. I thought you were going to be Matthew Wright. I was like,
not that hack. No. No, seriously, man.
Say that because he goes.
Yeah.
I was just about to say because Matthew O'Wright only watches the first 15 seconds and then he goes, if he's not mentioned, he just turns off.
It's funny because it's true. But no, you've been smashing it. Like, you've been on the channel. I've interviewed you a couple of times. The first time is in lockdown. And then obviously I've interviewed you a couple of times with new products that you've bought out through MB Magic Limited. Let's, before we talk about the new book, which is what I would want to really delve into, let's just play catch up a little bit, first of all, and talk about where you are now. Because obviously the first time I interviewed you, it was locked down. Smoke and mirrors was closed. You know, there was no way that everybody was stuck at home. And in the years since then, you know, smoke and mirrors is huge. Everyone's coming in. You're having some of the best acts around the world that are coming in on a weekly basis. You know, just purely away from creating magic from a performer and a business point of view, both you as a performer and also your business, you're doing great. Smoke and mirrors is awesome.
Do you know what? It's Smoke and mirrors hits its 12th year anniversary this year, and which, you know, in some respects is nice because it's and also sad because Illusions Magic Bar closed in 2018, so, and that was on its 11th anniversary. So it's nice that this magic bar has better legs than Illusions. No, I'm not saying Illusions didn't have legs. It was in the wrong spot and the wrong time. And, you know, she just, as a business point of view, she just couldn't continue as she was. And, but Smoke and Mirrors is one of those ones, usually as any business, you have to keep looking at it every day, looking at those figures and tweaking those figures and seeing what you can do extra and all those bits and bobs. And also, you know, looking at the magicians and saying, you know, this is why, you know, Magic TV is great when you come up and you speak to other people. I will say to my guys, you know, jump on Magic TV, have a look what's coming up, you know, what's being released, what's, you know, what's out there. And it's a great resource. So, and, you know, a lot of my guys, you know, they're very keen as well. They're very worried about, oh, I've got to put a new trick in. And this is why and like you've come down on a few Thursdays and I helped a few other magicians on Thursdays. It's our cheaper night in some respects. It's not a bad show. It's the same show, as in like 5 stars. We put all the effort into it, but there's an opportunity to put in a little trick to test out, to work into for the Friday and Saturday night shows so they can have a little play with it and all that kind of stuff. So that's what Smoke and Mirrors has been, you know, honestly, it's brilliant. But, you know, I will say, you know, it's tough. It's tough for everybody. You know, everyone's waiting for the budget and all that kind of stuff. What's going to happen? But, you know, 50 pubs a week are closing around the country. And it is tough, you know. 18 to 25 year olds just don't drink anymore either. You know, you've got to try and find a way of making them purchase a drink. We've got comedy night tonight, and the manager said, oh great, four people, four glasses of water please. You know, it's just like, and there was a, it's a shame, a little comedy club just up the road from us. Well, they went a cop, they were in a pub above, they were called the room above, and you know, lovely little guys, and they've been running these comedy nights on different nights to us. And they had to leave because the pub turned around and said, well, they're not buying drinks. And everyone said, oh, that's not fair, that's not fair. And he goes, well, no, it's down to the customer not buying drinks and supporting the bar. If you don't support the bar, you know, there's not much else you can do. So if you do go out and you do go and watch a live magic show or a comedy show, please buy a drink. Don't think, oh, I'll bring my own or top up before you go there. Think about that. That ticket's a fiver. That money normally goes to the comedian, goes straight to the comedian. And what the bar wants is for you to buy a drink. So support the premises that you walk into. Don't think, oh, that's really expensive, I don't want to buy that. They've got to pay for that bar staff. They've got to pay for those business rates. They've got to pay for that electricity. They've got to pay for that heating. They've got to pay for the VAT. You know, I think somebody said today,
I hate that.
Well, a pub gets 12p profit a pint. So you think, you know, oh, £6.50, you know, after paying out everything, it's on average about 12p a pint the pub gets. That's it.
After a lot of people don't realise about VAT and corporation tax until you're in that game. I have three different companies, and every company is VAT registered. And every company, you have a quarterly VAT return. I said to Sarah, my wife, the other day, I said, we're actually doing a VAT, we're paying VAT every month. Because three companies times four is 12. Basically, every month we're paying VAT.
Yeah.
It's just such a nightmare. It really is.
You've got to think about it. You're in the same boat as me. Most of your people that you're paying are not VAT registered.
No. No, not at all.
But because of the turnover you're taking, you've got to pay the VAT, but you can't claim any of it back. Because you can't say, oh, you need to do better. Up your fees so I can claim. Go and get a VAT number so I can claim something back.
Pick up the phone, ring this guy called Paul Martin.
Yeah, exactly. Get on the PMA course. Get over that 80 grand threshold. Come on.
Exactly. But I mean, you are doing well. And not only that, actually, I've got a question for you. Do you ever regret, like, shutting down Illusions? Is it ever something that you kind of go, oh, I wish I hadn't done that? Because I will tell you this, I do regret
shutting it down 2 years before. I should have shut it 2 years before.
Really?
I made a bad business decision. I did make a bad business decision because it was my baby. It was my, you know, it was my first ever one. And I had Smoke and Mirrors was doing phenomenal, doing really well. And what I saw was that Smoke and Mirrors were prop, because Illusions propped Smoke and Mirrors up for a really long time when it first opened. And then I thought, well, you know, Smoke and Mirrors is having Illusions is having a little bit of a downtime. It's all right, you know, we'll plow through it. Smoke and Mirrors will look after it, you know, we'll look after each other. And then it was just like the whole dynamic of where Illusions was called the Triangle, which was, yes, it's full of students, but it was also full of, at the top of Park Street. And yes, we were a student venue, but we weren't predominantly a student venue. We didn't really go for them. We weren't student priced. You know, we were up a little bit more on the money. And what we had with us was the harbour side was not very nice, where all the leisure companies, where all the big boys were on the harbour. Nobody wanted to go down there. Nobody wanted to, all the kind of like nice people who wanted to have a nice drink, have a laugh, watch a bit of magic, do a bit of karaoke on a Thursday, listen to live music, have a little bit of a dance. All those people were all on the Triangle. And then it swapped, that they started to enjoy the harbour side. So all these people started to go back down the hill. And all of us were like, I wasn't a student venue, and a couple of other people around me weren't student venues as well. And all our customers started flittering away. So, and it was just like, okay. And then And obviously with the students, they were spending less because their fees went from $3,500 to $6,500 to $9,500, now even more. So banker mum and dad and grandma, when they used to come home for Christmas, they used to come back after Christmas, students would just like fly in, didn't really care, tip really well, buy a magic wand cocktail, and get all on it and everything. All of us just noticed that the students weren't doing that after Christmas because grandma and granddad and mum and dad didn't have that extra 100 quid to give them after Christmas to go home and a drink. And it slowly and slowly dipped away. And now they don't even drink. So, yeah, I do miss her. I think everyone misses Illusions. I think everyone's got a really fond memory. I think any magician that's ever visited or bypassed have got a love for her, a story to tell. And you never know, one day it might come back as something else or as a different idea. But at this moment in time, like Smoke and Mirrors can't put that kind of facility in Smoke and Mirrors.
Smoke and Mirrors is such a great location as well. It just really is. It's right there. It's so easy to get to. And the thing that you're doing so well with
Smoke and Mirrors, it
is the amount of TripAdvisor reviews on there, the amount of positive feedback, and how many people talk about how amazing the place is. I mean, that's obviously always going to help.
And it's genuine, it's genuine feedback from people who don't, and as we all do, what I do, I ask in every time on my show who's been to a comedy and magic show before, and most of them turn around and say never. Have you ever seen a magician? No, that's the first close-up magician I've ever seen, and all that kind of stuff. So it's nice for the magicians when they're out in the bar and they're handing out the business cards, because they might have a little thing at the Christmas parties coming up. Oh, I got saw this magician the other day, we should have this and et cetera. But then when they're in, they don't know what to expect. So I feel sorry sometimes. I like on Saturday, I was with Catherine Rhodes, who does an amazing PK routine. Blew me away. Honestly, she does this PK routine and she chose, I'm going to go off script here, but she goes to me in the second show. She goes, I'm going to take one of the plumbers. I'm going to use the plumbers for my PK routine. I was like, what? A drunk plumber? She went, yeah, I'm going to give it a go. And I was like, my face was, are you mad? And she goes, no, well, if it works, it works. If it's not, on me. And I was like, well, no, it's on me, dickhead. But she went out there and smashed it. And everybody talking to him afterwards, he didn't have a clue. They didn't have a clue. I didn't have a clue. One of the best. If you do get to see Catherine Rhodes live somewhere and she does that PK routine, it will blow your minds. Fantastic. It's brilliant. Really, really good. Really through me. But going back to where was I?
You're talking about Smoke and Mirrors.
Yes. So, and obviously when they come in, they come in and they don't know. And they generally, when they write down, they remember parts of the show where we say, like I put in the book about crowd work, of making them feel comfortable, making them feel at ease. And that's the whole point of it. And everyone does this. It's a nice intimate. It's this, but even I've done the same set in a bigger thing, but it's all about making it as intimate as possible, bringing them all in towards you. And that's what Smoke and Mirrors does. And it's beautiful to do it. And, we all love working it. And, even though I think Friday, Chris was had a stinking cold and he's, and I said, oh, man up, get on with it, man flu boy. And when he came off on his set, he's dripping with sweat. And then his nose just opens up. You've done that, haven't you? You've all gone to the gig. You're on the way to the gig. It's just dribbling down you. You're like that. You get to the gig. Everything's fine. I'm completely fine. You do your whole gig. And you walk back, as you're walking out the door, you go, good night. You walk out the door and sweat. Yes. Everything starts coming out of your nose. You start sneezing. You start coughing. And you're like, oh. It was just for that hour and a half. So, that adrenaline when it kicks in helps you so much. And, but yeah, I said to him, you would have kicked yourself if you didn't do it. If he just said, took a night off because you got a cold, go for it.
Yeah. I agree. And also, obviously, as well as smoke and mirrors, the other thing that's gone from strength to strength since COVID is your magic club that you run at Smoke and Mirrors. And if anybody's watching this in the Bristol area and wants to, you know, go somewhere where you get incredible lectures in, but you also sit around and you personally help every single, you know, a lot of magic clubs, it's just sitting around drinking pints and doing no magic, but you make sure that everybody's like working on something, they're getting advice on whatever it is they need advice on. I think that's incredible. That's incredible.
Yeah, I think the work in progress. Yeah, the work in progress, you know, it's everyone's favorite night. And we tested loads of different nights, as most clubs have all done. And, you know, a packet trick night, bring a packet trick in, you know, that kind of stuff. And I kind of, when we were testing all the nights, I kind of wanted to do this work in progress night of just like, you know, what are you working on? Oh, I'm working on this, you know, but I can't do this. One person in this room is going to probably be able to say, oh, no, you do this. Ah, brilliant. Thanks very much. Oh, I'm reading this and I can't get this bit in this book. You know, I'm really, really confused with it and this. Or they'll have a routine ready to go and they'll do the whole routine and everyone will have a comment on it. And we're not arseholes. We all have a laugh with it as well. So we'll have joke and enjoy it. But all the points are all valid. It's all valid points. Or it might be, say, dead duck, mate. You know, I think one of your proteges, Jay, he was practicing one of your coin routine. And I said to him, and he was sitting down and he did the whole routine sitting down. And at the end of it, I said, do you want to do that again? And he was like, well, why? I goes, are you ever going to perform it sitting down? And he was like, no. And I felt really uncomfortable doing it. And I went, right, so let's see how you would perform it in real life. Do it in real life so you'll feel more comfortable. And I goes, Tim said, so when you're at home and you need to practice that trick, okay, sometimes you can sit down and do it. That's fine. But if you're going to practice that routine and with all the coins and doing that stuff, you need to be free. You can't have that tabletop in front of you. You're not going to be able to do it. And so stand up and do it. And when he did it second time, everyone was like, yeah, well, you really liked it, because he was less awkward. Mm-hmm. You know, he was like, oh, I get it. Yeah, okay, right, get it. And it's just these little subtleties of just letting somebody feel a little bit more confident when they're performing. But yeah, the work in progress. I think it's starting again next week or the week after. I think we're starting. I've given Dan Chard the privilege of setting these up, these dates, and organizing some more lectures, because I'm kind of like, I'm all kind of lectures that I want, but most of my guys were all cards. So yeah. I thought, well, okay, yeah, you book a few in, but try and make it as diverse as possible for other people. You know, we had Christy Frost in not so long ago. It was fantastic. You know, his mental mind, you know, but it's a brilliant lecture because it's all about how he also sets it all up and why he does it and everything. And he's got some great routines as well, Chris Frost. Brilliant routines.
Yeah, a lot of people just think of him as like a kids entertainer, but he's so much more than that. Not that there's anything wrong with the kids entertainer.
No.
He's just so much more than that. I've seen him many, many times live and he's very, very talented. Very, very talented.
Brilliant. You know, you see his horror one. He's got a great voiceover. I hope he still uses mine. I don't know.
And then obviously, as well as all of that, most recently, you have been elected for the first time ever onto the Magic Circle Council, which for people that I have so for people that don't know, the Magic Circle is the number one organization in the UK. Just to be a member of the Magic Circle is a huge achievement. You know, to be a member of the AIMC or MMC is even more of an achievement. But to be elected to council, because what happens is you have, I think, 12 people on council, and people stand for council every year or every 2 years. And it's very, very official. And you have to put statements forward and talk about what you're going to do and what you're not going to do. It's not just a typical magic club thing. It's very, very heated at times. And you know, you were elected, first time you've tried to be on council, and you got elected immediately. Which kind of shows me a couple of things. One, you're very, very popular, which we always knew, because everybody knows how much you've helped magic in the UK anyway. You know, with just with the amount of people that walk through Smoke and Mirrors and walk through Illusionist, Illusions, and we'll now talk about how better they are because of your input. Put all that aside, just the what you're doing for magic. You know, people that are coming into Smoke and Mirrors having never seen a performance before, and now they're sold because they've seen something incredible. They're going to love magic, and that's because of what you're doing. The amount that you've done for magic is incredible, and I think that's one of the reasons why you're one of the very few people that have gone and gone, I'm going to run for council, and I've got in first time. Brilliant. Absolutely brilliant.
I was a little bit, I kind of looked at the names and the people who went. There was a very long, lot of people went in. And at the AGM, I kind of missed the bit when they were reading out the names. I was just like, my names are this, and it was read out, and I was just like, okay, I don't know where this is going. And then he said, and the people who didn't get elected were, and I was like, oh, I think I was elected. it didn't really dawn on me, because I think I missed something of when he was doing his speech a bit to say, right, he was saying, I'm going to read it this way, and, you know, blah, 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 blah. And I was just like, okay, right, you know, that's kind of stuff. And he was reeling through and not elected. And I was just like, all right, so here I come. Oh, no, wait a minute. My name's been mentioned. Oh, I'm in. And it's really nice. And I appreciate everyone that did vote for me. A lot of people did mention, say to me, goes, what are you doing? Are you not busy enough? And then I was like, yeah, I am busy enough. And I don't know why. It's just, but I kind of wanted to give my, you know, help to council and my say to the council as well. How I'm an out of towner, and I think it would be nicer for out of towners to be involved a little bit more, bit of the magic circle, especially in the council side, because if it was always filled with just people that go every Monday, you know, we don't really get to have a say so much. So I thought it would be quite nice to not to basically say, well, yeah, that's all great for, but what about us? You know, we are paying. You know, a lot. I know we get discount, but we also pay quite a lot of to the Magic Circle, which is, it is phenomenal. And I was really happy to be asked to do my first ever lecture there 2 years ago, and then also perform, I think it was just last year, with Graham Leather, what's his name, Ari. And he asked me to perform with Paul Martin, Michael J. Fitch and everything. We did a little show. Which was a lot of fun, and it was nice to get to perform on the Magic Circle stage, which is a massive privilege, yeah. You know, to say that you've performed on the Magic Circle stage, and yeah, it's nice. And I've already started putting my statement was that I wanted to look at the bar side of it, and that's for me is I'm kind of like putting my little plans together. Instead of me putting in, this is what we should do, I think it would be nice to take a nice staggered approach to it and say, like, you know, this might work, or what about this? You know, what do you think about this? You know, and then hopefully move it along as it should do. So hopefully I'll see what happens in my tenure.
Well, your friend and my friend Nemid Phoenix said to me shortly after you got elected, he said, there's three people on the council right now that should just stay there forever and just never be removed until the day they die. And that's Marvin Burglass, Rodney James Piper and Mark Bennett, because you have three people there on the same council that are arguably the three most successful business people in magic. And they're all on the same council pushing towards the same goal. That's phenomenal.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, no one likes change. And I think, you know, but I've always been one of those people who says, well, change is good. You know, Illusions Magic Bar would never have been born if I hadn't changed the name from Baroque to Illusions Magic Bar. And Smoke and Mirrors would never have been Smoke and Mirrors if I had got rid of the name The Bunch of Grapes to Smoke and Mirrors. And Bunch of Grapes had been around in that pub for centuries, since the 1800s. It's been called The Bunch of Grapes. And I came in and changed it to Smoke and Mirrors. And I think it was 3 years in, somebody gave me a 1-star review on Google and saying, how dare you change the name of a pub? This is really horrible. This is The Bunch of Grapes. This has always been The Bunch of Grapes. I feel this is that you've ruined a name of a pub. And I turned around to him and I said, I've been here 3 years. If you had written this review 6 months in, I would have completely accepted your opinion. But because you haven't frequented this pub in 3 years, maybe that's why its name changed.
Mm-hmm.
He did send an email to us saying, I apologize, I've removed my comment.
Wow. Okay.
But it was true. You know, at the end of the day, I always find it funny when people say, oh, you shouldn't change. But sometimes change is good, you know, but do it. You know, for me, I never got rid of my wife. It was brilliant because I had a vision of when you walked into Smoke and Mirrors and she went, no, you can't have that because this is a pub and it's got to feel like a pub. Then you sprinkle your little bit of magic all over it and put it in different areas and do that kind of thing. That's fine. But if they want to walk in, they want to be feel like they did with Illusions. They didn't have the magician straight in their face. Is that you walked into Illusions and it was a nightclubby kind of live music, loud music, disco lights, you know, magic wand cocktail sitting on the tables. That was fine. And the magician didn't approach them. You went up to the magician. So they were felt comfortable. So you got to keep that comfiness going in. And she was right. It's a West End pub when you walk in and through the secret door, you go into the jazz style theatre and watch a show and come out smiling to live music and you get this journey. So, yeah.
Brilliant. It's absolutely brilliant. I love Smoke and Mirrors. And I'm back next month. I'm performing.
Yes, you are. Yes, yeah, you are. Yes, yes.
I'm very, very excited. I love it. It's my favourite time of year.
All that new material.
I've changed the whole act round. It's completely different. Completely different. Yeah. No more linking rings. No more cards across. Destination box is gone. Yeah, it's an all new thing. I do 29 minutes now with a thumb tip. It's brilliant. Thumb tip and a silk. It's bloody amazing.
39 minutes with Stitch.
I need to put something else in my act. Dan Chard needs something else to copy.
to be honest, what we did do was just get Chard. Oh, no, that was it. We had a customer the other day, and in his email, he says, I was here last year. I expect to see a different show. That was in his comments. And I was thinking to myself, like, Matt Wright, again, I'll mention him again because he might have jumped back in, I don't know. But he wrote a really brilliant comment once on, somebody gave him a really bad review. Well, gave him a not a very nice review on TripAdvisor. And he said, I can't believe this. It's the same show. I came here 2 years ago. And Matt wrote a brilliant reply to it. He said, it's not the same show. Yes, it's the same kind of feel and the theme of it and this, but so much has changed in that show since you've been here 3 years ago. And also, it's a show. The Mousetrap for the last 64 years has the same ending. Nothing has changed in the Mousetrap. That's why it's called a show. It just gets better actors, better production, and this and this and this, all this kind of stuff. And it was a really, really nice reply. And this is why we called it the House Magician's Comedy Magic Show. Because if you've got a good act and it's a good bit, then you should do that good bit. And that's why people write the reviews, because it's been worked. It's been worked and worked and worked on that Thursday and a little bit on the Friday and then it's bang on the Saturday and it is solid and it's there and there and there. And, you know, when people say, oh, they need more tricks, they need new tricks. Until that magician becomes, he finds it that he's just like, no, I do need to put something in. It takes something amazing and that it feels in you that it's you, that trick that you can change. Yeah. I thought this was going to be the best trick for me. I bought Blake Voigt's envelope opener.
Yeah.
Brilliant trick. Absolutely brilliant opener. Best thing on the market. It's brilliant. I performed it 5 or 6 times. It's that good. You can't change anything. No. It's done. It's brilliant. I said to one of my other magicians, I said, I love it, but I just can't. It's just so good. It's there. It's ready to go. He's worked that so well. You don't need to do anything with it. You know, it is just that good. And so I gave it to Richard and he smashes it out of the park and it's brilliant. But if I do it, I know I'm not going to smash it out of the park. So I'm just like, I'm repeating Blake Voigt. And although it's brilliant, but that's not me. I can't be that person who repeats somebody else anymore I think it's a good way to start learning a magic trick. You should repeat what they say in the video because it helps you get to where you should be. Then you make it your own.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's yeah. So anybody wants an opener, Blake Voigt's opener, it's fucking brilliant. It's brilliant.
Oh, it's amazing, isn't it? It's amazing.
Brilliant. Love it.
So
did I go off again?
Yeah.
I went off.
Yeah, we did. We kind of, yeah. We went back to Smoke and Mirrors being awesome. But let's talk about MB Magic Limited, because obviously this came out the blue around about COVID. You started releasing magic and releasing it through your own production company. We are all aware of the various different things that you've done with Matt Wright to do with coins and cards. You got the Queen's Secret, the Queen's Nose, sorry, the King's Secret. Then you had Billy the Kid. All three of them, each one got better and better and better as far as I'm concerned. But then you've worked with other, you know, artists. You had some stuff coming out with Jamie Williams last year. Movie quiz was very well received. You've had a lot of your own stuff come out. I mean, I think that the Get Smarty and the Eminem version, they were so well received, so popular.
I haven't seen any on secondhand. That's the good point, where you don't see it on secondhand magic for a while. That's you know, or after Blackpool. That was the nice key bit for me.
Oh yeah, within 0.3 seconds, my shit's all over there. But I mean, you never see any of it. But you're right. I've never seen it, and I see so many social media magicians doing Get Smarty. Like, it seems to be 50% of Magic Sing's repertoire these days. Get Smarty and stuff like that.
Yeah.
He's done it so many times. It looks brilliant when he does it.
It does, you know, and it was, he asked me, he said, because when he did Get Smarty for me, he was one of the people to test it for me, to test it out in the real world. And I know he'll use it in a working set and then he'll film it for his, you know, for his TikToks and YouTube, etc. to obviously give it that highest feeling. And obviously when he uses like a little celebrity kind of thing person as well. And he said, oh, I need a... can I grab an Eminem's version? I said, yeah. Do you want me to, I'll post it up to, he goes, oh, I'm in LA. And I was like, right.
Sure, sure.
Okay. So I'm not shipping you one for real, take forever. And luckily, obviously Murphy's came to the rescue and shipped him one out and he got it the next morning. And then put it out. The Eminem's version is great for if you've got the Get Smarty already, which is great. But if you want to do the Eminem's version, they now sell bags of Eminem's, little mini Eminem's, so you can refill it. But people will understand what is Eminem minis now because they are generally around in the shops now, which is great.
Yeah.
And it is, it's the same kind of routine as you know. But it just gives it that little spin for a little bit more. I close with Get Smarty. It's just the reaction I get from it is just brilliant. It's just phenomenal. I love, and also as well, it's my first ever stage bit I've put together of other than doing a mind map. And I don't do that very often, but when I do the mentalism with mind map, it's that I kind of finish it. I go, I made that. You know, I was just like, yeah, that's mine. You know, I made that. I did that.
Yep.
And it's not, you know, and you kind of, I still get that from any magic trick. I made it my own, as in like, but this is the one I created. So I was really happy with it. And I got a few more bits and bobs coming out for Blackpool. Hopefully if we all get on the ships before they all go on holiday.
Well, I want to talk about that. But before we talk about what's coming up,
yeah,
let's talk about your first book that you've written. Leaflet. This is like I'm gonna do a proper review about this, so I'm not gonna say too much now. I'm gonna drill you on it, but this is phenomenal. And I was saying to you before we started filming, there's very few books that really broach this subject.
Mm.
Not a book of tricks, it's a book about the most important part of magic, as far as I'm concerned, which is working a crowd. Like, I was having this conversation with somebody the other day, and I said, you know what the hardest thing about, and it was a punter. That's it. It was a punter. I'd just done this corporate conference. So the guy came over to me and said, thank you very much. You're brilliant. Blah, blah, blah. We'd hired a magician before and you were so much better. Yes, thank you. And he said, just saying, I think the guy's name is Paul Martin beforehand. I'm not too sure. But anyway, whatever. He was talking about magicians and magic, and he was just genuinely interested in the whole thing. And I said to him, you see, the thing is, it's not about the magic. When you're doing close-up magic, the hardest part is walking up to a group of people that you've never met before, that are having a conversation between themselves, having a drink, having a perfectly good time, and you've got to interrupt them and come across in such a way that within a couple of seconds, they want to stop drinking and talking about whatever they're talking about and genuinely want to watch your thing. And then you've got to be interesting and engaging enough to keep their attention while you stay there.
Yeah.
That's the hardest part about being a magician. That's the hardest part right there. And that's the thing when you speak to people who want to become working magicians, they're hobbyists, they're amateurs, they're, you know, whatever. They want to become a pro. They want to start doing it for money. They want to do it semi-professionally or professionally. They practice their tricks over and over again until they're blue in the face. They practice every sleight. They practice every move. They practice their scripts. They practice what they're going to say, how they're going to say it. But nobody ever practices going up to people and working that crowd. And I always see when I go to events with new magicians, which I do quite often because of slightly unusual, I'll regularly see them, and you see them like, well, there's a group over there, and you're like, right, okay, here we go. And you see them walking over to the group, and then at the last second, they bottle it, and they walk off. And it takes them like 5 or 10 minutes to get into that group. And what this book does is it teaches you how to approach a group. It teaches you how to keep a group and basically work a crowd. Am I right in saying that?
Yeah, in some respects, I don't really... I go for... I lectured this at Leeds, and I did say to them, so look, there's no magic in my workshop I'm going to give you now. It was about crowd work. And it was about that point of a magician walking up with exactly the same for you. They'll go up and go, oh, I've got to ask the name. I've got to do this. I've got to do that. Those kind of stuff. But they genuinely don't care. They want to worry about the pack of cards in their hand. You know, I've got to get my trick right. I've got to get this. But oh, what's your name? John. Great. What was your name? Now, generally, yeah, we do forget their names. Yeah, there are lots of times that we will do that. But if you don't genuinely care who they are, so by crowd working an audience of walking into, I don't say it in the book so much, but my table of 10 approach when I was starting out as a magician, I didn't really do corporates, but when I started doing them, I was like, well, how do you approach a corporate? I have no idea. And my idea was to find the first table with an empty seat and sit down in that empty seat and just turn around and go, so sorry, I'm late. God, did John win? Did he win? No. What? Sorry, 2 seconds. Can you hold on to this, please? And I give them a pack of cards. I just hand them a pack of cards. And then I said, could you shuffle those? What's your name? Who are you? And I just start asking people genuine questions. And they're kind of like, what is going on? But everyone stops talking. Everyone starts looking at me. And I go, have you shuffled those? Brilliant. Why don't you take one of those out? And then I slowly start to stand up because I can't, trying to go to the person on the other side. Oh, I can't see you. What's your name? You know, and then... Then I'm stood up and I go, have you got your cards? Give me the rest of the pack of cards. Show your card around to everybody else. I'm Mark, by the way. Thanks very much for joining me this evening. And this is my start into crowd work. And then being a barman, you're a listener, being a barman, and being a bar magician as well. So you would have to sit there and you've done a few tricks to a few of them, you know, and you're pouring them drinks. They don't want to watch any more magic. So you're listening to them and you're generally listening and finding out what they do for a living. Did they have a funny story today at work and all of this kind of stuff? And I became this thing of like, I genuinely want to know about you, but as soon as I walk out that door, I have no care for you at all. You know, it's just, but genuinely right now, I want to have this conversation with you. But as soon as we finish this Zoom, Craig, it's over.
I'm dead to you. I know this. I get this.
But you, it's that genuinely walking up to sound. A lot of magicians, they practice this, don't they? They practice this and watching and looking in the mirror and this kind of stuff. And my first thing at Illusions was to get them to look up and look in their eyes. Mm-hmm. And I always used to say to them, is it's like being a bartender. If you don't give eye contact to a member of those public that are coming in, and you know you can't serve that person for another 5 minutes because you're eight stacked up on this end, but if you eye contact them and give them acknowledgement, that person will doesn't realize that they're waiting for another 5 minutes. They'll think, I only waited a minute. But if you don't give them eye contact, they don't have this genuine connection with you, and then they'll say, I've been waiting here half an hour. You've just walked in. You haven't been here half an hour. Yes, I have. But if you genuinely make that connection with that spectator, you will have that respect with them. And as well, especially if you're starting out, crowd work is really, really good of saying, hi, I'm Mark. Nice to meet you. I've been asked by the manager to show you a few magic tricks. The chef's a little bit backed up, but I'd love to show you a few magic tricks, etc. If you don't mind. What's your name? Oh, brilliant, wonderful. And you are? And is it a date tonight? You know, and you're kind of like, you want to have a little bit of information from them. And I'm a chatter, as you know, but there's that point of like, if you feel that's where you get to that point and you stop, you kind of go, oh, can you just do me a favor? Can you all right for mixing cards? I never say shuffle, because they don't understand what shuffle means, but they know mix. Can you mix these cards up for me? Because, you know, wherever you want, that's fine. That's great. Thank you very much. I haven't even asked them if they want to watch a magic trick yet. You know, but what I've done, it goes, oh, thanks very much. Brilliant. Oh, did you want to watch? Do you want a trick?
That's great. Yeah.
And it's nice because you haven't even said it yet, and they don't give the option of saying, hi, I'm your magician this evening. Would you like to watch a magic trick? No. Okay. Why do I want to watch a magic trick? I know who you are, but you don't know me. You know, I think one of the hardest things we all do as a close-up magician is we don't know, as you say, is when to interrupt. And it is a hard thing to do, especially in a restaurant. You know, I've seen magicians walk up, the guy's holding the girl's hand, and they're loving into each other's eyes, and they're just like having the best time. And it's just like, do you want to see a trick? Oh. Dude, she's giving me these eyes. We're getting the bill, you know. And it's like, no. I'm going to show
you. I'll never forget. And this is years back. I'll tell you when it was. I'll tell you how far back it was. The friend I'm about to tell you about worked in Blockbuster Video. That's how long that was. But I had a friend, a girl, really nice girl, known her for years, and she worked in Blockbuster Video. And I had another friend who was a magician who had a residency in this restaurant. And he's no longer in magic. He's emigrated. But I remember going into Blockbuster Video and renting a video and going up and saying, how you doing? And we were chatting for about 10 minutes. And she went, you do magic, don't you? And I was like, yeah. And she went, I had the worst experience in a restaurant yesterday. And I was like, really? What? She went, I was in the so-and-so, and this magician came over. And I knew immediately who it was because it was this guy's residency. And I went, yeah. And she went, I took Jack in. Now, Jack was her boyfriend. She went, I took Jack in because, you know, it just wasn't working. I took him in to break up with him. And the penny had just dropped. I just had the whole, we need to see it. You know, we need to, this is not working. And then he walked up and said, hey, I'm the magician. Wouldn't take no for an answer. And spent 20 minutes showing us card tricks when literally that second I'd just broken up with him. And I was like, and he walked away thinking he'd done a great job. And I used to sit there thinking, that's terrible. But how many times has that happened? How many times have we been so self-unaware that we've gone up to a table, we've thought we've done a good job, and in reality, it has been the most cringy experience that those people have ever experienced, and we just didn't know about it, and they were too polite to say something.
I tell you, I did a really bad one once as well. I was doing a corporate in London. I'd driven up, I'd done my day job as a graphic designer, and then I drove up to London to do like a Christmas party. Everyone in suits, and I was knackered, tired, kind of got there, and I was getting knocked back after knocked back of like, no, you're right, mate, you're not right, all this kind of stuff. And I went up to this group of guys and I just they're all having beers, all this kind of stuff. And I was like, oh, guys, you know, I'm this. Oh, mate, honestly, mate, we're fucking tired. We ain't got fucking time for this shit. You know, just leave us alone. And I snapped. I went, mate, I'm still working. You know what I mean? I don't get to have a beer. I'd love to have a beer. I've been working all in day as well. And I snapped to this guy. And he went, all right, mate. All right, sorry. Yeah, yeah, go on then. Go on in here. We'll watch. And then they liked it, you know, when he was just like, yeah, that's not the approach. That's not the approach to do. But I just like, it was just, it. We all have that knock back. And it's that your adrenaline starts when you're there. It's really up high. And then when you get that, no, thanks, mate. And then you finally get to that table. You're not there, but then it starts to build up, and then they start hearing the applause and the laughter. You can easily then work the room. And yeah, I get that. That is hard. And that's only going to come from the experience, and you're never going to instantly get it, and you're going to be the winner, and no one's ever going to knock you back because you're a liar. And I don't care how good you are. But it's about that interaction of being. And in the book, as I kind of explain it, is a lot of theory at the front of it. There's a lot of theory at the front of like why it works, why sarcasm should be taken very, very carefully. You know, I know some people are very sarcastic, but there's no that wink at the end kind of thing, or it's a sarcastic wink. You know, it's got to be really, really careful. I'm a very sarcastic kind of guy. But I'm a cheeky, chappy, sarcastic kind of guy. And I always have been. And I've been quite lucky with my sarcasm. And sometimes I've not hit it right, you know, even with a wink afterwards or, you know, I've gone too far. I've gone too far on this one. Okay, right, okay. And you will win and you will lose. But the whole point of the book is it's snippets. Some bits repeat themselves is because they're important to repeat. Oh, I've just read that. Yes. And you need to read it again, kind of thing. Why you should not do this and why you should do this. You should be genuinely up to that point you leave that table, interested in that table. You have to be interested in them. And they otherwise, why should they be interested in you? Your ego is not going to get anywhere. You need to have that interaction. And I say this to magicians as well, is if you fail, they're going to go, it's all right, Mark, don't worry about it. It's all right. Chuck on another one. I loved your first one. It was brilliant. Come on, mate. Go on. You can do another one. And it's fine. And what we say on a Thursday night, we tell people on a Thursday, this is brand new. I've only practiced this at home. You're the first people to see this. So if it's rubbish, tell me. If it isn't, show me. Tell me. Stand, whoops, cheers, everything, do whatever you want. And obviously we can all do that for the next 4 years of that trick because it's like, oh, I get a really good reaction out of that. Unless they come back 4 years later and go, piss off, you did that 4 years ago. It's being that genuine person, being that performer of being, I want to show you a magic trick, I do want to entertain you. And a lot of them instantly will think you just want them to make them look foolish. We're not there to make them look foolish at all. When I say about in the book about, you know, looking at their attire, you know, what they do, you know, there's lots of stock that people have and use. I give a couple of stock in there, but I don't really want to give you loads of stock. Why should you have a load of stock? I'll give you a nice opener to help you get onto that stage of going to a comedy club, what you should do to go to a comedy club. Don't rock up at a comedy club and just think you can perform. Give you advice about how you could get into a comedy club and what you should do first. What kind of material would work? You know, one of the hardest things was like, yeah, but if you're going to crowd work, you can't just do a corporate because they're all HR. Well, you can a little bit because they have a hobby. They have this. They have that, you know, there's lots of different ways that you can get a corporate on your side by crowd working them, you know, and there are these things. It's not all in there. Don't get me wrong. It's a 32 page booklet. You know, one person wrote on, I can't remember where it was. He goes, is there anything on silent acts? And I said, yeah, these pages here. It's just this one, that one, and that one. And, It's all on there. You'll love it. It's brilliant. It's perfect for you. But it is, that's the whole point of it. It's just to give you that nudge. If you've never done it before, it's got some, just a little bit of advice in there to say, if you take that little step, you can work it and you keep doing it. And what will happen is, if you keep using it more and more and more, what will happen is something will make everyone laugh. Your brain will remember that. Or if you don't, or if you try, if you can, go and write it down. What was the line that, you know, sometimes most of my job gags have come from a spectator in the audience of the other side. You know, one of my favorite ones, we had plumbers in on Thursday. And I said, oh, what do you do for a living? And they said, oh, we're all plumbers. I goes, right, okay, I'll come back to you. I don't know, about a week or so. Not nice, is it? And they just left it and then just like moved on into the next one. And then I went back and I was just like, back to them, you know, who do you work for, blah, 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 blah. You know, who's the boss, who's this, you know, that kind of stuff.
I've told this story before on Magic TV. I've seen you in shows many, many times. And it always amazes me how you can spend the first 10 minutes of a show just talking to various members of the audience, and it's witty and it's entertaining and it's funny, and it's funny and you're taking the piss, but not in a nasty way, in a playful way. And, you know, very few people can do that. And it's always different. Like every time I've seen your show, dozens of times, and every time I've seen you do this thing at the beginning where you go into various different members of the audience, it's such a unique opener, and I don't think I've ever seen you repeat a line ever.
It all depends on that. I've got lots of different jobs in the back of my head. I've got different things of where it is. Some things mix with other things, so it could be, it's a similar gag to a different job and this kind of stuff. But this is where I've been doing it for 30 years of crowd working with different people. I'm not saying I have every single job underneath the sun. You know, I know a lot of stand-up comedians work on locations. They have a, because that's their, because they go around the country and they do stand-up comedy. So they have lots of location gags of what's around that town that they're in. They'll have a gag for something just outside and all of this. And that's what comedians, and what we don't do as magicians, and what comedians do. Comedians will travel everywhere on a Monday, Tuesday or Wednesday night after they finish work, jump in their car, travel 40, 50 miles to do 3 minutes on stage to test material, and then drive home again for 20 quid. And some of the biggest names in comedy have did that for years and years and years until they were spotted and taken. And I give an example in the book about when you're in that position of going into a comedy club, go there before, you know, be there, you know, go there before as a punter, you know, support, yeah, again, support the bar, buy a drink, etc. Yeah, you can buy a soft drink, but you know, make sure you buy a pint and buy two of them, three of them, you know, yeah, whatever. And
well, you know, whenever I go to Smoke and Mirrors, even if I'm working and you've paid me to be there, I always like, I'm having my pizza off you, I'm having my wedges off you, I'm buying drinks, I'm tipping all of the bar staff, because it's the right thing to do.
It is. And when I say to, you know, don't expect as a magician that you can walk on there, put your close-up case on the stage and go to start to do your performance. It should be on you. You should be able to work, stand in front of a mic. I remember for years I had just the mic stand in my office in here, and I was trying to learn some when we used to do the compare in front of the curtain. So we'd stand there and the mic was in a stand, and it wasn't a head mic, and I had to practice a trick because the mic stand's there. So I'd learnt it here, but it's just like bang, bang, hitting a mic stand. So I had to practice it to hug a mic stand so I could still talk and still do this whole magic trick and do it that way. So there's, yeah, things like that of, you know, learning. I think one of my favorite acts to watch is Matt Daniel Baker. He, you know, he doesn't move, but he has that whole room. You know, I'm a walker, but he just stands there. He's got his hand out mic because he knows He can do that anywhere, and that is the only microphone he knows that will always be in a venue. And he learned his whole act to be on that stand, on that mic, and he goes, and that's what, and that's how I do it now. I don't do it anywhere because I know I can do my act anywhere, and I'm done that way, which is a great way of doing it. If somebody says, no, we want you to wear a head mic, okay, fair enough. That's fine. He can do it because he knows he can do it. But to do it, if you do get a mic stand and say, well, that's what you've got to use, what are you going to do? So you need to know that. And it's these little tidbits in there as well to say, you know, just make sure you know where you're going. But go out and practice it. Do it in your close-ups. Ask people at that wedding, who are they? What do they do? You know, why, you know, yeah, you know, they're there for the wedding, but what do they do for a living? What do they do for a living? You know, are they an engineer? Are they, you know, a project manager? Are they, you know, I'm a corporate buyer. Vague. Brilliant. Wonderful. Okay. Okay. So you're a spy as well, are you? But, you know, it's just this. You want to generally know, and then when they don't want to ask you or they don't want to reply, okay, that's fair enough. That's no problem at all. And you're very, very lucky. If you do buy the book, just in case somebody wants to scan that, I don't know if you want to scan that.
Well, they might. Keep it up for a second. Yeah. The link will be in the description down below, but let's keep that up for a second as well.
You get my openers. What I use at Smoke and Mirrors, and I have done for the last 10, 15 years, they're solid. They work. They make people relaxed. They don't instantly, this 15 second words that I say relaxes every single person in the audience who have never seen a comedy and magic show before. Every single person will just go, they'll be like this, audience participation. Oh, okay. Yeah. I'll watch the show now. Not a problem at all. I'll sit here and watch. So from this, I don't want to be involved, to I'm here. So for $8.99.
And the other thing is as well, and the book is brilliant, don't get me wrong, and it is absolutely amazing. I'm doing a full review on it very, very soon. It's full of absolute gold, and as a bonus, it's not going to take up much space on your bookshelf. No. So, win. You can shove it right there in between your John Bannon books.
That looks amazing. No, look how thin that boy. It's a booklet.
It's almost like an illusion. It's like a step illusion. It's like a deceptive base.
You know, it is on Amazon. It is print on demand. So when you buy it from Amazon, they print it, they send it. So if people have asked me if they can, Mark, can you send a signed one to me? I personally think that devalues it. You know, so you know, you can't sell it then, can you?
But if you buy it from Amazon and you can, if you buy it to Amazon and you go to a convention or a lecture that Mark's at, bring it for him, he'll sign it there.
Well, it is. It will be. This is the book. This is the lecture book, and I might stick a few copies on my shop, but not yet. It might come up, but if you want me to sign one, you're gonna have to come and see me in person. And if you come in to see me at work, I may not have a copy with me anyway, so it'd probably be at lectures or at Blackpool. But I'll have a few of these here. It's fun. It's a very quick read, but I feel it's a lot of gold in there. I feel there's a lot of gold.
I agree.
So I hope, you know, it does work for a few people, and it just helps them, you know, not look down and make you look up and genuinely be engaged with your spectator.
I wish I had this book when I first started working on stage, because I made every single mistake. And do you know Lee Thompson, the pickpocket? I don't know.
Yeah.
So Lee's a mate. I love Lee to bits. I really do. He's been very, very helpful to my career. And I'll never forget one of my very first stage shows that I did. And I had no idea what I was doing. Lee came up to me and he went, that was great. And I was like, thanks. And he said the same thing to me as you just said there. He said, you got to look out at the audience, Craig. Don't look down. You're looking down. You need to look out at the audience. That one piece of advice changed everything to me. Yeah. The second I did that, reactions were better. Audiences were more receptive. Everything hit stronger than it did before. And it needed somebody, I didn't know, I was just making it up as I went. It needed somebody to point that out to me, else I never would have figured it out. And what this book is going to do is it's going to give you that information without having somebody there. You're going to, if you read it and you assimilate it and you take it all in, it's almost like a shortcut towards being a better stage performer, taught by somebody who, let's be honest, has probably taught more magicians how to, you know, between you and Rodney James Piper, I mean, you know, 80% of the magic community has come from you two. And you know what you're doing. You know what you're talking about.
Like, yeah, so. I think it is. It's finding what's good with them. You know, I say to my guys, you know, when they've got to, and it's the hardest thing, you know, my guys start, you know, they've got to go into a cold room. You know, and they've got to warm them up, and they're like, "Oh, I'm really struggling with the opener and all this kind of stuff." Because, well, I'm not opening, am I? So you're quite welcome to use mine, you know, if you want to. You know, you can use some of mine to make you feel a little bit more comfortable and get in there and start doing some bits and bobs, but not when I'm on. It's just, otherwise, I walk out and say, "Hi." I've got my second half opener myself, but you know, there's some bits I want to keep for myself, and I said, you know, I don't mind sometimes, but when I'm on, don't use my good fucking shit, you bastards, because that's mine, you know. And it's a fun thing to do, and but then it also makes me think about, go, right, okay, so I need more as well. So I need to up my game again as well a little bit more. And it just helps my brain a little bit more to go forwards and think about stuff. And what's nice about crowd work is the more you do it, it will come across as spontaneous, but it's not spontaneous. It's not spontaneous. You know what you're going to say because you've done it before. But the way you do it and the way you say it, is that's where you, if you do it more often, it becomes spontaneous. And it's, oh my God, he just came up with that. Not really. I've done that 70, 80, 90 times before, but the way you deliver it has got to be feeling that it's about them. That little gag you just did, he goes, oh wow, you know, I'm loving your shirt, my friend. I didn't know you, James May fan club was still going, but you know, it's lovely. You know, it's just these little bits of, this little bit of humor, yes, you're taking the mickey out of him, but you know, your people kind of instantly get it because the guy wears a flowery shirt and you know, you've got the little bit of a gag, but it's genuinely talking to them. You know, I think I had one night, and I think I put it out years ago, but I just said, oh, what are you doing, madam? She goes, oh, I'm a stay-at-home mum. He goes, oh, wow, okay, fair enough. That's a job. Come on, that is a job. Come on, people, don't put that down. How many have you got? And she goes, one, well, half a job. And which is, you know, still like you're a bloke having a go at a mum saying you got half a job for you. But then I spoke to the next woman next to her and I said, oh, what do you do? She goes, oh, I'm a childminder. And I said, oh, really? And how many kids do you childmind? She goes, 32. I goes, that's a fucking job. You know, it's not going to happen again. It's not going to happen again. But, you know, it kind of like, it really helped of like, oh, even though I was kind of like nasty about saying, oh, half a job, you know, because you haven't got two kids, you've only got one, get over it. But, you know, for the next person to be a childminder just made it even, and the whole, even she found that funny, you know, everyone found that funny because it was like, that's a job. That's 32 kids you got to look after. That's a job. And, but I kind of, and those kind of like things will come back again, you know, of like, you know, how many children you've got. And this one woman, again, it was, she goes, oh, I'm a stay-at-home mum. And I goes, oh, right, how many? And she goes, oh, two. And I kind of looked at her and I was thinking, like, I goes, how old are your kids? And she goes, oh, 18 and 19. I went, you haven't got a job. Your job's done. You know, it's just a... That's you go and enjoy your life now. Go on, just sod it. You know, send them off to university. You just go and enjoy yourself. You know, that's what you should be doing. You're retired now. You're done. That's it. You know, and it was nice because it was just I'm a stay at home mum. It's just like, they're not kids. You don't have to look after them anymore. You know, move on, move on. But yeah, it's, but the more you do it, the more comfortable and more relaxed you'll be at. But genuinely, this is the whole key to it. Be engaged and be genuinely engaged. And yeah, you can switch off afterwards. Once you walk out of that door and your gig is done and you can switch off, not a problem. That's done. But while you're there to perform that magic trick, make it about them. Make it everything about them and having a good, making them having a little bit of a giggle and, you know, knowing everything that they, you know, bits about them, because you can come back. You don't know that that bit of crowd work you did there might be another table over here that has a similar role, or, you know, but they're enemies in some ways, you know. Yep. You know, because you know about them, you can use something from over here, you know. Yep. These things will happen. I'm not saying they will, but they could happen. But if you genuinely engage with that table of 10, and then on the other side of the table of 10, there's somebody else that has a similar job or the role reversal of that job, you've got some little bit of comedy gold to have a little bit of fun with, because people will understand it. They'll understand it themselves, even if you don't.
Yeah, that's so true. Damn, this is like a masterclass. You don't want to give away the whole book. And I know you haven't. You're only just scratching the surface. But yeah, listening to you, this is why people need to get this book, because there's been very few books like it. And especially written by somebody who has had so much experience doing this stuff successfully for so long. I'm going to be doing a full review on it soon, but spoiler, it's brilliant. Go and buy it. It's only $8.99.
It is, not... and it's cheaper on the kit.
You know that fucking John Bannon packet trick that you want to buy? Yeah. Just don't. Nobody needs another packet trick. You know that deck of cards by Craig Petty that you want? You don't need it. You don't need another speciality deck. Put it to one side and go and buy this book instead. Go and buy the book.
Good price, though. Good price, though. Is that $15, was it? Or 15?
Oh, 15 quid, yeah. The new one. Best thing you do.
Bargain price, my friend. Yeah. Brilliant. Yeah. It is good. I have said to my guys, you need to get a copy. So if you can just send them to me, I'll pass them on.
I'll pass them all over to you. No problem. Now, before we go, I want to quickly talk to you about, you said, you let a little spoiler out there. You said, hey, I might have some new bits for Blackpool. Is there anything that you can talk about that's on the...
Not really. There may be a collab with myself and Matthew again. Don't know. We are still working in stuff, but maybe something, maybe not. I don't know yet. We don't know. We are busy on different projects. I've got a project of mine that's, I think it's going to be another organic something for, I was going to say, no. I'll wait till it comes in, but it's another organic something, you know, everything that I kind of have, or I've released, it's been very organic.
And yeah,
that's me. So that's what it'll be, another organic. It's going to be, it's not a stage piece, it's for close up. It can be used for stage, but it'll be mainly for close up. I'm really happy with it. It's an idea I had about a couple of years ago, or when they first came out, to be honest. And I thought, oh, what can I do with that? There's something I can do with that. There must be something I can do with that. And they're not going away, so they're only going to be more and more of them. So they kind of like fit in with this organic feel to the trick that I'm going to release. Probably at Blackpool. It'll be released at Blackpool.
Wow. That was the most cryptic thing ever. I know what you're talking about, but you said it to me, but that was very, very cryptic. Trust me, it's amazing. And then obviously you've got some other stuff that you've talked to me about that's on the, you're prototyping and you're coming up with ways of doing this. One of which, if you pull off a way of doing it, I think it could be the best. This is going to be such a bold claim. The thing that you were talking to me about that is your variation of something everyone does, if you can pull that off,
yeah,
I think that will genuinely change close-up magic. I think everybody will be doing this classic trick that way from now on. I think forevermore, like, you will literally change magic if you can pull that off. Genuinely, like, it's...
It was that list, it was the list I was going through of, the, you know, bar magic ideas. But, you know, I'm a bar magician, for God's sake, and I've never released a bar magic trick. Because, you know, I've bought great tricks and I've read great material on bar magic and, you know, used bits and bobs. But I feel this one would be for not just bar magicians, but for any magician that is out there. And that, and a lot of people do this trick. You're right. So, and also the other one that you and I were talking about, which I look forward to collaborating a little bit more with you on that. So,
oh, absolutely. We need to put our heads together on that because I think that could be killer. Yeah. I'm going to start working on that before I see you next.
Yes. Give me a couple of days. I'll see you next week and then the week after as well. So
yeah, you're going to see me a lot. Absolutely. Yeah. Filming another project at Smoke and Mirrors. Always exciting. My favorite projects are the ones that I film at Smoke and Mirrors. So it's nice to be back. I haven't been there in a few months. So filming a project, so it'll be nice to be back there. But I want to wrap this interview up by telling everybody, first of all, number one, the QR code's been there for a while. Go and scan that QR code. Go and pick up the book. It's only $8.99, print to order. It is very, very good. Don't wait for my review. Just go and get it. Second of all, if you haven't got Get Smarty or MBTube or all of the other fantastic things that that Mark's come up with, go to the website, mbmagic.co.uk, get his drink deck, get everything. And then if you ever find yourself in a situation where you're on holiday in Bristol or you're anywhere nearby and you want to go and you want to see some really, really cool magic, then go to Smoke and Mirrors, go and get a ticket. Remember to buy a drink at the bar. We've been through this. Because honestly, you're amazing, Mark. And I think everyone should support you because of how much you've done for this community over the last 30 years. Thank you. No, seriously. Thank you so much. And congratulations on the book. I know you're putting pen to paper with another book soon. We're not going to talk anything about that. But I'm liking the fact that you're now an author. I'm liking the fact that you're putting this stuff in print because a lot of the stuff that you're talking about is stuff that other people don't talk about. So it's amazing that you're actually taking that 30 years of experience and passing it off to people, you know, in book form.
Yeah, I get a little bit worried when I'm doing lectures. When I'm, you know, I feel sometimes I go, oh my God, am I boring you? Because I'm talking about theory and I'm talking about why it should work, why this trick should work and why I do it and why it works, etc. And how I did it and I give them the history, etc. And it is really nice when a lot of people do come back up afterwards, they turn around and go, do you know what? Love that. You know, it wasn't just trick, 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 bye, 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 bye. And I go, well, I've got a good bundle deal though. You know, yeah. But they do generally get something out of the lecture. And I think the new insert for the crowd work, talking to magicians about performance, is very key to me. It's very, very key to me. And of making sure that my magicians and other magicians that come passing by me is that they become a better them, a better performer because of the experience that they can hopefully get from myself or watching other magicians, of just saying, not being that magician, but just being yourself and, you know, just honing that, you're getting you a little bit more. You've got an ego, you're a magician, for God's sake. So this will help you interact with that audience a lot more. And so you generally become a better performer.
I completely agree. Completely agree. And on that note, thank you very much for joining us on this interview. As normal, amazing interview. Do me a favor, guys. If you've watched this, do me a favor. Like I said, buy everything at Mark Scott. Go pick up the book. If you pick up one thing, go pick up the book. But then leave a comment down below. Let Mark know what you thought of the interview. I thought it's amazing. Leave a comment down below. He will see the comments. And connect with him on social media. If you haven't already done so, go visit Smoke and Mirrors. Go buy everything he does. And I will see you again soon. Well, Mark, this is not going to be Mark's last time on Magic TV. He will be here again. I will drag him back on here very, very soon. But until the next time, I'm Craig. This is Mark. Mark, one more time, thank you so much for being on the channel.
Thanks, pal.
We'll see you again soon. Magic TV.
Thanks for listening to the Talk Magic Podcast.
Magic, magic.
Be sure to like and subscribe to the Magic TV YouTube channel.
Magic TV.
Which includes 14 unique videos every week. Whatever type of magic you're interested in, we've got you covered. Just search YouTube for Craig Petty's Magic TV. Or click on the link in the description from this podcast below. Be sure to join us next Friday at 5 p.m. right here for another Talk Magic Podcast.